And we're live, everybody. Welcome in. It is Friday, 1:30 p.m. Central. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a live stream, but we're going to get started right away because Dojo is a very big deal. Okay, so we had a pretty big breaking news moment from Tesla this morning or last night, I guess. Tesla announced, or it was broken, that the Dojo project, whatever you want to call it, has been canceled essentially at Tesla. There was a thread that was published by Amit Kukreja, a huge fan of the show. Not only a fan of the show, he's a huge guest of our show. He comes on all the time, and we're huge fans of his as well. Amit, shout out Amit. Make sure you go check him out. So he wrote a thread where he said, as per Bloomberg, Tesla is winding down efforts with Dojo. They're focusing their compute needs on NVIDIA, AMD, and Samsung. Pete Bannon, VP, is now leaving Tesla after most of the Dojo team has begun to leave. And then he showed that his take is not a really big deal. Most of the Tesla bull case has been rooted in FSD Optimus, not Dojo. But let me go ahead and actually read Elon's reply to Amit's post. And then we're going to go back and forth on this because there's actually a lot here to be gathered. And by the way, we have live comments now on the live stream on the bottom right corner. Let us know what you think of that. You know, because we live stream so often. These are new things that we do now, okay? Just a feature that appeared that we didn't even know existed. So Elon Musk replied to that post. It doesn't make sense for Tesla to divide its resources and scale two quite different AI chip designs. The Tesla AI 5 and AI 6 and subsequent chips will be excellent for inference and at least pretty good for training. All efforts is focused on that. In a supercomputer cluster, it would make sense to put many AI 5 and AI 6 chips on board, whether for inference or training, simply to reduce network cabling complexity and cost by a few orders of magnitude. One could call that Dojo 3, I suppose. The difference in real-world performance between AI 4 and AI 5 is far more than any chip version I've ever heard of by a lot. It's real good. Okay, so now our job as two nerds in this space is to try and make this understandable for people, because you know Dojo is one of those programs that Tesla launched 2021. I forget exactly which year, but it's been in the works for a few years. It was initially billed as a sort of strategy to try and hedge against NVIDIA and to also build internal chip capacity for Tesla for its AI needs. And then a few years later, after a bunch of stuff has happened, the Dojo program has essentially been wound down as Tesla has created a partnership with Samsung for the AI 6 chip, which is their next generation chip, with Samsung, not with TSMC. NVIDIA also plays into this whole thing. So let's try to make this. Oh, and okay. And there's also a thread from James Dama as well that I actually want to show in a little bit as well. So Hans, go ahead and sort of try to unpackage this for us a little bit. What is going on?
Well, so I know that this takes a lot of people by surprise right now. And for people who aren't following this very closely and don't understand some of the particulars that are going on behind the scenes, I can understand why it would actually be quite scary or alarming in some way. But actually, if you really understood what was going on when Tesla made their announcement that they were going to be doing this, you know, fab partnership with Samsung, and Elon talked about on the conference call that Dojo 3 would actually be a convergence between the AI 6 chips and the Dojo training cluster, that you'd basically use the same chips themselves and then they would be, you know, put together differently. So that's where he was talking about having them on a board versus, you know, where you've got a whole bunch of them all on a board together. It sounded like he said on the conference call 512, but maybe he didn't. Maybe it said, it was hard to tell exactly how many of these AI 6 chips will go on a board together to help make this networking and cabling challenge a lot easier, but it'll be, you know, more. And that is a departure from the way that AI 4, AI 5, and then Dojo 1 and Dojo 2 were. Like, Dojo was its own thing, and the hardware 4, hardware 5, AI 4, AI 5 chips were their own thing. And those two things were separate. And then as we, you know, get closer to this future, now we're saying we want to make those two things the same. Well, the people who are working on Dojo 1 and Dojo 2, if That
can I interrupt you for 1 second, Hans, just to drive that point a little bit. So Dojo was a training exercise. So there's two different ways of thinking about AI. So there's a training piece and then there is the inference piece. The training piece is we have all this data, we have to make sense of it. And then the inference piece is, okay, now that we have the computer making sense of it, we actually have to execute it. So Dojo was a solution for the training portion, right? And then the inference piece, the AI 4, AI 3, hardware 3, hardware 4, AI 5, AI 6, is that, okay, now that we have that AI code, whatever you want to call it, then it's the execution, the inference of the results of Dojo, but it's also like H100s, H200s, right? That's all kind of lumped in the same category. Just correct me if I said anything wrong.
Tesla is making these big, huge data centers like Cortex One that's on the south end of the Gigafactory in Texas, or even, you know, their Buffalo Center, those are big, you know, giant clusters, supercomputers. That's the training. And then the inference is what happens in the car or in the Optimus. It's just the small computer that is actually telling your car or your robot what to do. And so that's kind of the distinction between your training and your inference. And so one of the things that has begun to be a bigger and bigger challenge, and I think right now we're at a point where it's the fundamental limiting factor, the bottleneck, for FSD development for both, you know, customer unsupervised FSD and for robotaxi, is actually that validation piece. I think Cortex One got us to the point where they can train these new models that are then going to go get installed on the customer cars very quickly. And it takes them a long time, and, you know, Elon has talked about this, to figure out, okay, like if we train 4 or 5 different versions of this, then how do we know which one's better than the other one? Like, you've got to figure out how to do tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or even millions of miles worth of driving to figure out, okay, which one performs better and in what scenarios does this one perform well? What scenarios does that one perform well? I mean, you do have the entire fleet of the cars where they can kind of deploy them in shadow mode, and that helps. But you want to do that plus accelerate it as much as possible. And so we saw with Cortex One that they started putting a bunch of AI 4 chips into server racks inside of Cortex One alongside of all the special chips that they're buying from NVIDIA to do training. And that was so that they could, you know, load up simulated driving data or recorded driving data and try and do this validation testing for which version of FSD is better virtually, instead of having it have to run only in real cars in real time, because you're just limited in the amount of data that you can process in that way. Because, you know, if you know there's a specific scenario that you want to test the performance of this new FSD software in, if you're limited to only the cars that are on the road, well, you've got to figure out, okay, how do I recreate this exact scenario that I want in a real world car at the frequency that I need to really, you know, get enough tries to have a statistically relevant sample to determine, is that better or is it worse? And so this is the big challenge for FSD, is knowing, have we made progress? Have we made the system better or not? And so you can think of a two-part loop where you're trying to go as quickly as possible, and you have both parts have to be fast in order for the overall loop to be fast. So you've got suggesting a change to the FSD software, this big blob of weights in a neural network, and then testing it to see, is it better or is it worse? And so, like, suggesting the change is fast right now, testing it and figuring out is the change good or not is slow. And so I think, you know, this is conjecture on my part, but everyone has been, you know, wringing their hands like, oh my gosh, AI 5 is coming. Elon says it's got to be 10 times, or it's going to be 10 times better than AI 4. Does that mean my AI 4 computer on my car is going to be obsolete? And that, you know, basically my brand new car is going to be bricked in just a couple of years because it doesn't have the amount of computing power that AI 5 chip is going to have. My read on the situation right now is that the main need for that 10x improvement in performance on AI5 is specifically for its use inside of the training cluster to help speed up this validation process. That I think AI4 has more than enough room in the car to run whatever neural nets end up getting decided on as being the best ones, but that you need as much AI5, you know, validation or as much validation compute as you can. And you do that by having lots of these chips that are going to go into the car, all pretending that they're driving in all of the scenarios that you need to check to do all of your testing as fast as possible. And so, like I said, that's conjecture on my part. But I think it's grounded in the reality that we're witnessing from the outside of the company.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this is that the Dojo program was launched at a time where like AI still feels very early in a lot of sense, but it was early. Like it was early. You know, it was
yeah, I
like
mean, this was what 2019 that I think we started talking about.
Yeah, something like that. So we were discussing before we went live, actually. So and it helped me sort of drive home this point in a different way, or just even help me drive it home in the first place. One of the things that I haven't really understood and up until very recently is this is sort of Dojo winding down from what it used to be or what it is into going into a completely different way for Tesla to approach this problem really highlights how players like Nvidia are so freaking good at what they do. Okay. It really encapsulates why that ecosystem is so important and why even a company like Tesla that could attract top tier talent and top tier expertise and a lightning fast sort of movement, it still doesn't get them close, or it gets them to a point where it could match or displace a player like Nvidia at what they do, which is provide that super, super efficient, powerful, flexible, and easy to run, I guess, platform for AI training. So are there any holes you want to plug there?
Yeah. So let's start going down that road. First, we can, I think, definitively say that the Dojo project was not a success. Elon specifically set the metric early on. He said, we will know if Dojo has succeeded when we want to turn off our NVIDIA clusters. Well, Tesla obviously has not turned off their NVIDIA clusters. They're
done the opposite,
to buy more and more of them. So, you know, Dojo has not managed to outcompete NVIDIA and Jensen Huang in being able to train these large AI models. But I don't think that that's, if you go back to the reason to announce Dojo in the first place was to have at least an insurance policy. Like NVIDIA was making great chips. They were making strides, but we hadn't even at that point gotten to the ChatGPT moment of AI. It was unsure how many NVIDIA chips would be made, what their capabilities would be. Would they be able to train video? And that's kind of what, you know, the Dojo architecture was initially designed to excel in, was video training specifically. And so it's like, you know, I don't know if these NVIDIA chips are ever going to be good at training video. I want to focus on real world AI where you've got video in and actions out. So if Jensen flops and cannot provide me with that several years in the future from now when I need it, I would at least like to have the project going in-house to where hopefully I can still make that critical thing on the roadmap that has to happen. Thankfully, you know, I would say that Jensen and NVIDIA over-delivered, the Dojo project kind of under-delivered. And that's for a lot of reasons. Like the chip itself is great, but there are so many second and third and fourth order things that you also have to do in order to make that whole thing work. The challenge of networking all of those chips together and keeping them seamless, like that's really challenging just from a networking perspective. But then the software that actually coordinates this training job across, you know, an exaflop of continuous compute that, you know, was the original goal for the Dojo 1, that's a really, really hard challenge. When we had the Dojo One presentation, they didn't really even get into how they were planning to solve that. That is what CUDA does. And CUDA is a very, very robust ecosystem that facilitates, you know, hey, this is a training job that I would like to be done. And that's written in, you know, some program, probably Python or PyTorch or, you know, one of these ML frameworks. Then it goes into CUDA, and then CUDA is the thing that takes that and splits that up across all of the different NVIDIA chips that you have networked together and facilitates the actual implementation of all the matrix math that does your AI training. And that's a really hard thing. And, you know, the CUDA ecosystem has the most developers that are focused on it in the world. And they do this for pretty much every single application that there is in AI. And so if you as Tesla are trying to, you know, roll your own AI chip, you're also going to have to roll your own CUDA. And that's, you know, easier said than done. A lot of people have tried and a lot of people have failed at exactly that bottleneck. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people who are claiming to be able to kill NVIDIA, just like we've seen a lot of claimed Tesla killers. And, you know, so far, none of them has been able to unseat NVIDIA from that thing. So anyways, all that to say that Dojo, great project. It's always good to have insurance. It has produced positive benefit to Tesla. My understanding is that the Dojo supercomputer that they have running up in Buffalo is, you know, constitutes the majority of their auto labeling pipeline. And auto labeling is an extremely important piece of their whole FSD training architecture. So it is like they've solved enough problems to make it useful. It is useful. It is in production. I don't know if they've gotten their money's worth out of it necessarily, but definitely when you consider the fact that, you know, if you want to expend some amount of your CapEx just as an insurance policy, it worked as that. You know, it's also hard to say, did the presence of Dojo on the AI roadmap and knowing how fierce of a competitor Elon is, did that motivate Jensen and NVIDIA to really not drop the ball in this area? Perhaps. You know, that's not really easy to quantify. But yeah, we ended up in a place where we've got plenty of training compute. And so now Elon's looking at the future and he's thinking about, okay, the bottleneck isn't, can I train big AI models? Can I even train them with video data? That is kind of all solved. And especially his work with XAI right now, he's Jensen's number one customer when it comes to, you know, single cluster, single coherent cluster size. There are other companies that are buying more overall chips from Jensen, but no one is building bigger unified coherent clusters than Elon is with XAI. And the size of those big coherent clusters is one of the things that's pushing, you know, you didn't see Zuck or Sam talking about, you know, building as big of giant clusters before Elon announced, hey, we're going to do Colossus One. We're going to make 100,000 H100s all coherent as one individual cluster, when the biggest other one at the time was about 30,000 and no one was really pushing those boundaries. And now Elon's like, yeah, we're going to, you know, 100,000 is just child's play. It's pocket change. We're going to go for 1 million now. And then after 1 million, I'm sure it'll just continue to expand. So he's worked directly with Jensen to accomplish this with XAI. They are pushing the boundaries of what's possible on these huge training clusters. And the training clusters that are being developed for XAI are far in excess of what Tesla needs for training. The bottleneck that Tesla has is not a training bottleneck anymore. Like I said, it's this validation bottleneck. And so that's why the evolution of this Dojo 3...
For the cars.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we don't know on Optimus.
I guess it's still early on.
Yeah. We haven't solved enough problems to really be there. Yeah, the next bottleneck is still let's improve the integration of training and inference, get them coupled together more tightly. And you know, then you get your validation flywheel spinning faster. You can figure out updates more quickly. And you know, it's really an up in the air question whether or not we will be able to just fully roll out robotaxi and unsupervised FSD with the current amount of AI for validation compute that we have. My guess is that has to grow. Once again, we're back into speculation land. So AI 5 was originally slated to go into production with TSMC in, I think, the beginning of next year, the beginning of 2026. And now it's been pushed out to the end of 2026. I can't read some of these things because I got a little...
I had to. The name is too similar to Doge. It was making Elon uncomfortable. That's why he closed it down. Sorry.
That's highly possible. So anyways, my guess is that AI 5 was going to be a big push for this validation testing for FSD. And then when TSMC bumped them and pushed them back to the end of next year, that put a major crimp in Elon's step to try and solve these problems as quickly as possible. And so Joe Tegmeyer has, you know, brought up the fact that the original site plans for Cortex 2 there at Giga Texas are not at all what has now, you know, they've been able to observe is being built. And so there were major changes to the design of Cortex 2 that occurred in January. So we don't know, you know, exactly what was planned, what is now planned, what's the difference between what was planned and what is planned. And then are those changes due to them changing their plans for Dojo, or is it due to changes in the timeline for AI 5 rolling out versus AI 4? Like, are they having to now just order a whole bunch more AI 4 chips to build out a large cluster with for this expanded validation capacity instead of being able to just go directly to that AI 5 chip, and now that AI 5 chip is delayed? It's going to be really interesting and fascinating to follow that more closely and see exactly what it is that gets built for Cortex 2. And then hopefully we can get Elon to comment on this at some point in the not too distant future to, you know, help give more color. But I also wonder if that delay by TSMC, who, you know, TSMC has a lot on their plate, right? You know, they're the number one fab. They're the best at whatever the new process node is. So, you know, if you're wanting to, if today you're manufacturing chips on 2 nanometer and tomorrow you're hoping to manufacture chips at 1.6 nanometer, well, TSMC is your best bet because they do that better than anybody else. You know, Samsung typically, like right now, I think TSMC is just running flat out on 2 nanometer, and Samsung is struggling to get to 2 nanometer. They're mostly just on 4. So they're kind of behind as far as the generation of fab nodes that TSMC is running. And then they're not as good at the packaging, like the most advanced packaging either. TSMC is better on both of those fronts than Samsung, but because they're better in those, they've got all the biggest customers. They've got Apple, they've got Nvidia, you know, anyone who's AMD, like, you know, anyone who's anyone is fabbing with TSMC. Then you've got the China risk with all that fab being located there in Taiwan, and China says they want Taiwan back. So then TSMC is bringing up fab capacity here in the United States in Arizona, but that's still oversubscribed. You know, everybody who's a U.S. company that wants TSMC fab wants allocation from Arizona. And while Elon's a big customer, he's not as big as these other companies. And so he gets, you know, shifted down the priority stack. So anyways, I think that what, for whatever reason that AI 5 got pushed back, that was not something that Elon enjoyed. And that's probably one of the driving factors behind going with Samsung, because now, as the number one customer at the Samsung fab in Taylor, Texas, you know, A, it's close by, so that's nice. You can go help them sort through whatever production and yield issues that they have. But he is their number one focus. And just like he is one of Jensen's number one focuses. And, you know, he can continue to have access to TSMC's supply chain and TSMC's fabs through Jensen. So now he's broadening out his supply chain. He's getting that priority treatment that Tesla needs by working with Samsung. But when you make that switch to fabbing now with Samsung, the design for Dojo 1 and Dojo 2, both of those designs are dependent on those more advanced packaging architectures that TSMC is good at, that I mentioned earlier. And so, like, you can't build Dojo 3 as an evolution beyond what Dojo 2 design is going to be if you're not fabbing with TSMC anymore and you don't have access to those special packaging technologies that TSMC is the master of. And so going to Samsung kind of forced Tesla to abandon an evolution of Dojo 2 into Dojo 3 as this special Dojo architecture that's different than AI 6. But Dojo wasn't really keeping up with NVIDIA anyways, whereas AI 3 is still the, you know, one of the best inference computers that you can have on the planet, much less AI 4 is, you know, basically the only thing that's better, and that's in production today. No one else is making in-car or in-robot inference computers that are better than this. And so Tesla's just doubling down on the thing that they've actually seen the most success in, the thing that's working the best, and all of that on top of the thing that's probably going to do the most for you to solve the bottleneck that you have of validation, especially in a world where Elon has already looked behind the curtain with XAI and he's seen what frontier model training is going to look like with these huge, you know, NVIDIA superclusters, and that already with Grok 4, and this is going to become more and more true in the future, the challenge is generating the right data to train these huge friggin' models with. And you generate that data by doing just synthetic data generation, and synthetic data generation is the exact same thing as inference. It is the exact same thing as validation testing. And so he sees this need for efficient inference compute that they are already really good at with AI 3, AI 4, AI 5, and eventually AI 6. And so he's just pushing all in, like, Tesla, you're going to focus on this inference compute. You're going to focus on it in a way that, you know, it needs to be really easy to put it in a car and a robot. And it also needs to be really easy to put it in a data center so that you can do, like, the data center is where you're going to be doing the synthetic data generation. You're not going to be doing that, you know, on device at the edge, in your car, in your robot, you know, on your power wall, wherever the heck you've got these chips at. And so that's where now you had a specialized team that worked on Dojo 1, it worked on Dojo 2. It had all of these areas of expertise on how to work directly with TSMC to get, you know, this special performance and architecture out of it. Oh, wait a second. We're not going down that line anymore. Now AI 6 is going to become Dojo 3. Well, all of those people who were the experts in how you're going to build Dojo 2 with TSMC, they don't have relevant expertise on how you make this AI 6 chip that's going in the car the most efficient. Like, how do you then integrate that into the most efficient data center package as possible? Like, it's a whole different set of skills, a whole different set of expertise it's a whole different shift in direction that, like I said, was signaled when on the conference call already several weeks ago, when Elon said that we're, you know, that AI6 and Dojo 3 are going to be built together. And then when they announced Samsung on top of that, like pretty much all of that was already telling people who understood what was going on that the Dojo team was
Let me interrupt you for a second, Hans.
Was useless.
So this is we got a question early on. So why does this seem such a departure contradiction from what Elon just said on the earnings call about Dojo? I think you just answered it. Is that it's really what it is? It's Dojo is kind of like in the way that it's framed, you know, moving forward. I would like in my head, Dojo was an R&D insurance project. Tesla has said, okay, AI6 everywhere. And AI6 is this multi-use chip that they're going to use for inference and training. And they're just going to figure out how to make it work across everything.
Yeah, AI6, you know, he's continued to confirm that AI6 is Dojo 3. When AI6 becomes Dojo 3, then that is one branch of your overall hardware development taking over another branch, and all the people that were working, so Dojo 1 and Dojo 2 dead ended. All the people that were working on Dojo 1 and Dojo 2 don't have anything of value to contribute to the people who were developing AI3, AI4, AI5, and now AI6, which is now eating and transforming into Dojo as well. So you need the people that have been developing the AI3, AI4, AI5, and AI6 hardware all along, that team is still in place. Those people didn't go anywhere.
And that's something that's not well understood, right? They're two different teams. There's two different separate teams that are working on two different solutions. They were working in parallel. Yeah. It just so happened that the AI6 solution...
They probably both reported to Pete Bannon. They're two different
sub-teams. Who left, by the way?
Pete Bannon.
Yeah.
And usually these types of transitions are good times for leaders like that to, like, whoever is the point person on AI5 and is taking over the, you know, getting the AI6 design over the finish line, that guy is going to be, you know, he's going to take over the new Pete Bannon job.
And Pete is great.
That's the whole thing. Oh, Pete is great. Yeah. Really, you know, I've been impressed that Pete has stuck around as long as he has, because he's been there a long time. He's contributed a lot. Like, do you really want to have Elon breathing down your neck? Like, validation,
like another 5 years.
Validation has become one of the biggest bottlenecks of Tesla in their AI plans for the future. That means that Elon has probably been breathing down Pete's neck now for a couple of years, and Pete's not 20 years old. I don't know how long you want to just sit there and do that, you know, indefinitely. Maybe it's time to take your foot off the pedal and begin to, you know, catch up, take a break, see your family, have a life.
Do a new venture. Who knows?
Do a new venture. Yeah. You know, maybe the pace of the new venture is 60 or 70% of working for Elon. And even just that is a huge relief.
Or it could also be like refocusing. Maybe they're shifting it a different way. Maybe he's more interested on the just exclusively working on the training side and finding optimizations there versus maybe like the info. Because this is, again, like, I think what people have to keep in mind, like, we're still nascent in this space. People are still figuring out. Like, there's no guarantee that Tesla's approach of making AI6 the everything chip is going to work out as well as somebody going hardcore inference and then hardcore training. Those two specializations could turn out to offer better results long term than trying to do an everything chip, right?
I think there's going to be big places for both.
Okay, so let's pause there, because we need to give a huge shout out. If you watch this podcast, you know that this podcast is sponsored by the wonderful people at Rebellionaire. Okay, so Rebellionaire, in case you're not familiar, especially if you're a Tesla fan or a Tesla investor, and if you have more than $1 million of a Tesla stock, Rebellionaire could be a really good fit for you. And the reason why is Rebellionaire is an investment firm that helps Tesla investors reach their financial goals. Can you tell I'm doing an ad read right now? They do this by helping you plan for the future, and they also institute strategies like trimming and adding covered calls, etc. So if you're somebody who believes that Tesla has long-term potential, these kinds of strategies could maximize the number of shares you have by the time that Tesla reaches those goals. And the guys at Rebellionaire, Bradford Ferguson and Matt Smith. By the way, Matt Smith, the most beautiful person I've ever met. You can go back and look up everything I've ever said about him. He is the nicest person I've ever seen. I'm not just saying this because we're getting paid to do this ad read. He's literally the nicest person I've ever met. Look back. I've never said anything bad about him, okay? But the guys at Rebellionaire, they do this by doing a lot of research in the Tesla story, and they do a lot of novel research, things like do a cross-country trips. They do a bunch of sort of novel research around the energy sector, the humanoid robot business. They approach the story in a very sort of like unorthodox is the wrong way, but they do a lot of novel ways of researching, which kind of gives them an ability to understand a Tesla story better than your traditional investment firm. And so instead of dealing with your typical investment firm, then that might give you the cold short and be like, you crazy person with your crazy Tesla position, this is too risky. The guys at Rebellionaire know the story so well that they could actually help you reach your goals while keeping that outsized Tesla position. And so if you're interested in that, we have a link for y'all. You can go to rebellionaire.com/Farzad, rebellionaire.com/Farzad, should be in the description as well. And that's how they'll know that we sent you to their site. Okay, that's the ad read. How did I do?
Not bad.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead and so let's pick up where we were before. So we were talking about exclusive training versus exclusive inference. Those two separate could be better solutions than Tesla going all in AI 6. But you were going to go down a train of thought.
Yeah, I just like I think that all of the above strategies are going to win, and they're all going to have their own place. That, you know, if you think about the way our minds work as humans, there's a great book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman that really outlines this framework that basically our minds have two different modes of processing information. You have your conscious mode of processing information, and then you have your subconscious mode of processing information. And so I think the subconscious mode is what they call system one in the book. And so that's going to be like all of your automatic reflexes, all of your breathing, all of like your fight, flight, freeze response, your heart rate, like all of those things are actively controlled by your brain, but you're not aware of any of those things. And so it's in control of all the automatic processes and all of the extremely fast reflexes that you have. And then we have our conscious brain that we actually are thinking. This is where our reasoning is going. This is where we're creating stories about to organize our action and figure out what we're doing. And so like the tightly integrated kind of all-in-one architecture for inference and training, I think is really going to be good at that logical, always learning. Like our brains don't pause and go do a training run for several months and then update all of our neural net weights. And then we go out into the world and do real stuff for a while. And then we have to, you know, go into hibernation and then retrain our neural nets again in order to get smarter. We're constantly learning and acting together in this loop. And all of that happens in our conscious system to thinking. And so I think that architectures where you do have this tighter integration between inference and training are really going to excel at that specific, conscious system two type mode of thinking. And then for other things where, you know, your reflexes, they're just kind of on autopilot. You don't think about when, you don't have to update the weights on your reflexes very often. So that type of application, I think, is going to be very well suited towards dedicated training architecture and dedicated inference architecture. And like I said, I think all of these are going to win. They're all going to have their own place, and they're all going to be part of what it really takes for us to solve artificial general intelligence. Well,
sorry, I sent you. I have to use the bathroom. Oh. I literally just got back. I sent you a message in the back end. Okay, so it's a winner. So everybody wins as long as you can create the compute necessary to actually process this, because it's so early on in the game that any advancements you're going to make are going to be exponential in the coming 5 to 10 years. And so as long as you have some sort of strategy to give yourself the ability to do inference and training, you're going to be in good shape. As long as you do so smartly and cost effectively. And then in the long term, the ones that are able to monetize that computer inference will actually be the winners.
And like we said, Tesla is focused on the things that they foresee as being the big bottlenecks in the future for the specific things that they want to do. And then the other thing to also bring into this conversation is that, don't forget, you know, Elon is the owner, CEO of X and XAI. And the, you know, if Grok's mission is to understand the fundamental reality that is the universe to the best degree possible, then exploring the real world is going to be a huge pivotal part of doing that. And so there's going to be a ton of convergence between XAI and Tesla through the Optimus robot project in trying to build, you know, general intelligence for general use case robotics. And XAI has tons and tons of training capacity that they are building and going to build. And so, like, Elon already has tons of resources at his fingertips and at his disposal to do these massive training things through XAI. And so Tesla doesn't necessarily have to hedge their bets anymore on trying to have access to large training compute if, you know, Jensen doesn't deliver, because, oh, Jensen already delivered and Elon already owns what Jensen delivered. It just lives over at XAI, and XAI and Tesla just have to do whatever deal is necessary if they do need a whole bunch more training compute. Like, the training compute that they're building out at XAI is so far beyond the plans that they had for what they're going to be building with Dojo 1, Dojo 2, Dojo 3, that it really kind of invalidated the need for the Dojo project at all, assuming that Tesla and XAI can come up with a mutually beneficial deal to exchange training compute time for data, and have, you know, everyone be happy from an investor standpoint and regulatory and all that.
And so, do you think all these little, like, things that are happening, so bringing on Samsung as the partner, scaling down and sort of eliminating Dojo as we know it, and then doing an investor vote in November for a stake in XAI, do you think these are all clues that just back up exactly what you're saying? Like, look at all this movement that's happening, like, from not just from a strategic perspective, but, like, outright saying, hey, Tesla should take a stake in XAI. It does feel like that marriage is inevitable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I read it is that Elon and Tesla are doing what they've always been doing very, very well, and that is de-risking the supply chain, de-risking the future to the maximum degree possible, giving themselves the most optionality and having, you know, the best contingency plans in place. And, you know, when you look at a future not too long from now, and if you believe, like Elon believes, that China is likely to disrupt TSMC in Taiwan in a big way inside of the next 5 years, and that 5-year time window is a critical time for Tesla to be pushing forward on AI, not falling backwards. And especially if you think that developing Optimus needs to be a project that's insulated from China just due to the geopolitical tensions between the United States and China, then you'd really like your entire Optimus supply chain to be as independent of China as possible, both from a raw materials perspective, from a chips perspective. But, you know, also, even though TSMC isn't in China, a risk from China due to invasion. So, like, you want all this stuff to be here in the United States as much as possible. You want to control your own destiny. And then if you can figure out how to do that while also building this general purpose training and inference architecture, and you have access to these huge, you know, clusters with XAI all at the same time, you know, just a lot of things kind of line up together and make sense as one unified, cohesive strategy.
Yeah. And I do think the one conversation we had around like the likelihood that next generation AI embodied machines, like so like human or robots embodied machines, these are domestic national security, like these are national security type things. And to localize the supply chain for the entire thing, localizing the supply chain for the entire thing is going to be insanely important for all players, because what you don't want is a country that potentially doesn't have your best interests in mind to put arbitrary like barriers on your most important product of all time and asset and be like, oh, so yeah, we can't give you chips today. Sorry. You know? And so it's unbelievably important. Real quick, I want to read the messages that we got from James Dama talking about this too. It backs up a lot of what Hans said, but I just want to make sure I share that with y'all. And then while I do that, if y'all have any questions in the comments section below, go ahead and post them. We'll pull up only the best ones, which might be all of them. We'll see. So let me go ahead and share my screen and read them.
Go ahead, put Hans. Question in all caps in front of your question so that it makes it easier for us to find, and then we'll try and pull those up.
Okay. So now I have to remember which one's the first one. I think it's this one. All right. Is that the first one? Yes, it is. Okay. So this is a message from, so we asked, basically I sent a DM to Dalma with Hans and I, and James have a group, which is awesome. And then I was basically like, what the hell's happening? That was my question. What the hell's happening? Basically. This was James' response. So I haven't read the MSM articles, which are often just noise, but this development seems pretty predictable to me. Going over to Samsung for the next gen means abandoning the Dojo Tao, what the hell is WOCOS? WOCOS? You know what that stands for?
So that is the packaging architecture that I referenced earlier. WOCOS stands for wafer on chip on...
Got it.
Substrate. Yeah, so it wouldn't be what... I think he misspelled that. I think that's supposed to be CoWoS, which is chip on wafer on substrate, which is the Dojo.
Maximum nerd moment.
Yes. Well, okay. The people that know will know.
Okay. Perfect. That's you know, the audience now knows that you have credibility when you're talking about this, because you're correcting a thing anyway. And all the complex packaging and interconnect.
James knows. I think that's just an accidental typo.
And interconnect that went along with it, which means Dojo 3 is a complete redesign and probably goes in a similar architectural direction to the other in-house silicon hyperscalers. Conventional cluster packaging and interconnect with big rack mounted PCBs packed with compute die, memory, and IO chips. This is much less of a science project than the beyond next gen approach that Dojo was going for. So it should get you to useful systems faster. Did you want to add any clarity or add anything to that?
Yeah, so instead of, you know, Dojo really was pushing the frontier on what is possible with, you know, AI training chip architectures. And so that's why it's using, you know, these super fancy packaging technologies from TSMC, where you're doing a combination of a couple of things. You're putting your memory chips and your logic chips and whatever other types of chips that you've got for your, like your networking chips, potentially all on a what's called a through silicon via, which is basically directly connecting those chips together without having to go through copper wire traces on the thing. Basically all of that does is it gets those chips closer together as far as the path that the information has to flow, so that the information flows more quickly, more seamlessly. Like you reduce the latency in your whole system. You do that, and then you put that on top of another a wafer, so that you can have, so right now the Dojo D1 tile, and I'm assuming the Dojo D2 tile will be similar, has, you know, 5 across and 5 wide, so 25 total chips of individual D1 systems. that are all together on a wafer. So in each system uses the, I believe D1 uses the through silicon via 2.5D architecture. But yeah, all of that's on a wafer. And so all of those chips can talk to each other very quickly, much faster than they could if they were on separate boards instead of all on one wafer together. And this is like, that's one way of trying to push the boundaries on AI training that's similar but different to what Cerebras is doing, which they just put all the like the logic on one huge wafer. And the challenge that Cerebras faces with that is that when you do that, there's going to be some areas of your chip where the quality didn't come out just right. And so you've got an area of your chip that's bad, you know, it's doing bad math, it's doing bad logic. And so they had to figure out in software, how do we isolate those? So that's kind of their approach to that. And then, you know, NVIDIA has taken a little bit less exotic packaging direction and just focus on how do we make this as general as possible, and then we'll continue to push things forward. And so what Tesla is now doing by abandoning kind of that frontier packaging technology is to begin building in a way that's a lot more similar to the general use case way that NVIDIA is doing. And they are probably going to be using a panel style packaging architecture for the Dojo version 3 configuration of the AI6 chips. We don't have to get into all of that. That's just to say that they're going to try to do with more conventional chips and more conventional packaging technology something that's similar to what Dojo was doing on a larger scale. But yeah, using means that are a little bit easier, a little bit more tried and true, probably faster to scale, probably lower challenges with yield.
Got it. Okay. Moving on. So the reason I say it was predictable is that the existing Dojo team has a lot of expertise that is very specialized to the exotic packaging stuff that Dojo was doing, and that won't be used in Dojo 3 or whatever Tesla ends up calling its in-house silicon clusters. This is the AI6 thing that we were talking about earlier. So naturally, the structure of the team is going to change a lot with departures being a part of that. I kind of thought that some of the Dojo guys might want to do a spinoff with the packaging tech that Tesla's abandoning, and maybe that's what is happening in part. And so that's interesting because that's
it does seem like that's what Ganesh is doing. He announced that company that's kind of coming out of stealth. What was it called? Dynamic or something?
Yes.
But yeah, so he's doing, and apparently quite a few of the people who are leaving the Dojo team are joining him there. I was kind of surprised, you know, Ganesh was actually hired into Tesla by Jim Keller, who has now gone to, he's the CEO of a company called TensTorrent that's also focused on, you know, building next generation AI compute. And so I was a little bit surprised that we haven't seen people joining him there as well. And maybe there will be, and we'll find that out more. But yeah, anyways.
As James continues here, but they might still be building and deploying Dojo 2 systems for a while. They have them in production, that is in quote unquote production of the FSD product, and may well have parts inventory sufficient to build out a number of additional systems before Dojo 3 is ready. The guys doing hardware development are not the same as the guys building out the and deploying the racks. So you could have developers leave, but still build out more of your production systems. I think that's pretty straightforward.
So that means that, we can still continue to make AI5 chips. We can still continue to make the Dojo 2 chips that are already designed but haven't been manufactured yet. Like all of those, just because these people are leaving the Dojo 2 team doesn't mean that Dojo 2 is not going to get made. It's not going to be put in production. It's not going to get deployed.
Gotcha. So you already have the CapEx built into the project. Might as well utilize what you have.
Yeah, the people that are leaving are the people that designed it, but we're done with the design. That part's over. Now we're moving to building. And so, yeah, like as far as we know, the people that are responsible for building Dojo 2 are all still there.
James Dama moves on. Training FSD might well be quite different in terms of the cluster hardware requirements compared to LLMs. Data generation and curation will be much more intense for FSD than for LLMs, and that takes a ton of compute that is dissimilar to a regular training cluster, e.g. Auto Laborer. And additionally, Tesla has need for a lot of specialized simulation hardware, which is part of their data generation stack. Because of this, they won't have a 95% GPU cluster unlike LLM makers. We know, for example, that they have a big cluster that uses AI4 chips at Cortex in Giga Texas. Gotta put my glasses on. Okay, here we go. That's so much clearer. I think Elon said it was 40% of the compute there. That hardware is mostly being used for validation. It runs billions of trips on a new version of FSD to regression test it prior to pushing it out to the fleet, and also to do hyperparameter and corpus design exploration. Did you want to add anything there?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the topic that I was exploring earlier when I was talking about how validation is really the big bottleneck. And, you know, the better that we get the models, the more the fraction of your training compute cluster you need to dedicate to validation. Like, we can already build big enough and, you know, big enough neural nets for FSD fast enough. Now we need to figure out how to validate them faster. And so with Cortex One, that fraction is 40% validation, 60% training. We don't know what Cortex Two is going to be, but it would not surprise me if it wasn't 50-50 or 60-40 the other way, where you've got 60% validation and 40% training, or even potentially more than that. And so this, you know, that shift alone means that the focus of what you're building in the future is more these inference chips that you're going to be running in your data center. And that's the thing that you're doubling down on as Tesla is trying to figure out how to do that as well as possible. And, you know, your training cluster hardware is already solved. Like, that's a unknown quantity.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish up James's thing here. Basically, FSD needs a lot of stuff that is not well suited to a big GPU cluster. So they already have a lot of quote unquote in-house compute in a sense. Anyway, I think Dojo winding down is a nothing burger. It tells us that the forward expected ROI of the Dojo tile architecture was probably not looking good compared to doing something simpler. And I also get the sense that Elon wants to scale fast enough that developing Dojo was holding them back. I hope this is useful in lieu of coming on to chat, maybe useful background perspective. Feel free to use without attribution as you see fit. So none of this came from James Dama. This was a completely made up story that we self-generated on Grok. Just kidding. James, thank you so much for giving us the knowledge. He is on a road trip right now. That's one of the main reasons why he couldn't make it on the live stream with us. Or he's like, these guys are bozos. I'm just going to spend 2 seconds to give them the message, and then they can do whatever they want with it, right? So thank you so much, James, very much for giving us the insight there. But it does align with a lot of sort of, Hans, what you've sort of been covering for the last couple of weeks. I think our conversation with Jordan.
And Jeff,
I felt kind of pointed us towards this direction anyway. So we kind of front ran this inevitable outcome. But it still sort of highlights again one of the earlier points is like, this is why companies like NVIDIA are so well positioned. This is why companies like AMD could have such a bright future. It's like there could be many players in this arena discovering ways of how to make compute and inference or a one all-in-one solution work. And it's all of those things. All of those things will just create more compute for us to solve for artificial intelligence in every domain, digital domain, physical domain. We're still so freaking early in the game that it feels like anyone who's the war of the chips has been on for a few years, and we're getting repeated confirmation that this is not, you know, not investment or financial advice. This doesn't feel like a bubble. There's way too much money being thrown into CapEx and way too much earnings being realized by NVIDIA for this to be a bubble, you know? So anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out there at the end of his thing, he said the Dojo tile architecture is, you know, that Elon didn't see ROI in the Dojo tile architecture, which is the TSMC future of Dojo. And, you know, that is different than saying Dojo overall is not going to have an ROI. That's why they're moving the Dojo 3 is going to be this expansion of the AI 6 hardware. So Dojo still has a future. The future of Dojo is these AI 6 chips, and then, you know, future, there's going to be an AI 7 chip, and it's also going to probably be Dojo 4 and that kind of thing. So Dojo's not going away. It's just that the nature of Dojo is changing. They're not going to be relying on these crazy, you know, ways that TSMC makes their most advanced chips, you know, for probably both reasons, like we said, that they don't want to rely on TSMC if TSMC is going to get invaded by China, possibly. And even if they weren't going to get invaded by China, they can't get allocation of those chips because NVIDIA is getting them all and AMD is getting them all and Apple's getting them all. So, yeah, and all of that is, I think, something that most Tesla retail shareholders probably didn't understand without really doing their homework.
Let's do some Q&A here as we wrap the sucker up. Did you want to throw anything else in here before we start doing that? So if you have any questions, type question in bold, or not bold, in caps, and then it's easy for us to find your question. I'm going to go through some of them. I'm actually going to pull this one up here that was already dropped. So why wasn't Dojo abandoned early? Tesla enthusiasts were hyping Dojo 3, ignoring all its flaws, yet now hopping on the bandwagon. Analysts could have anticipated this better. Does anyone agree? I think if you listen to some of the conversations we had in the last couple of weeks, as Tesla sort of made this announcement around the Samsung factory, like the partnership, it did seem like their decision to go towards leveraging inference was coming fast. And I think it's also very important to keep in mind that early on, this was placed as a hedge against, you know, we've discussed this in the live stream many, many times.
Kind of missed, like I said, Dojo 3 is still happening. It still has an opportunity to be very important. It's just a shift in strategy of what Dojo 3 is going to look like from what Dojo 2 was. And as far as we know, they're still going to do Dojo 2. They're still going to use Dojo 2. They're still going to put Dojo 2 into production. So, like, this is, you know, this is the time. You wouldn't abandon the Dojo 2 architecture earlier than this if you still plan to make it and use it. You're just changing what comes next after Dojo 2 in form factor, and you're still going to have Dojo. Like, it's...
Right. They're still going hard into chips. I think that's the takeaway. I think the news today and last night is being misrepresented. It's like, well, they're winding down Dojo. It doesn't mean they're no longer doing in-house training compute.
Yeah. And that's not true. They're just changing strategy on what that in-house training compute looks like.
They're going to leverage their inference chip that they've been using that is going to be multipurpose moving forward, which kind of reconfigures the architecture of that training. That's the key takeaway. Okay, let's do a few questions here. So once Elon has the Samsung factory up and running, he should simply persuade Jensen to license his chip design so Elon can stamp out as many as he needs in the form factor he needs. What do you think about that?
It will be interesting to see if...
That's assuming they have a state-of-the-art than what NVIDIA could do.
My guess is that's probably not going to happen. Maybe over time there is some convergence. It really depends on whether or not Jensen has a solid plan for integrating inference and training more tightly together. They've been moving in that direction as well, so I would assume that they do. I don't think it's a secret within the AI research realm that's the direction that AI training is going to go, and that's something that's actually necessary for us to really move the ball forward on, you know, frontier AI research. So yeah, I would be surprised if that partnership bears that much fruit. I mean, just remember, if Optimus is scaling around the time frame that Elon has talked about, just the demand for AI 6 chips for Optimus alone is going to be massive and, you know, potentially sufficient to consume all of the production capacity at that Samsung Taylor, Texas plant, which is the only plant that, you know, Elon has an agreement secured for. So I don't know that there's a lot of extra capacity there to then also supply Jensen with something special for him too.
Yeah. Especially as like bot ramps.
If there is that extra capacity there to sell to Jensen, that probably is not the best sign for where Optimus is at in its
scaling. Not making enough robots.
Which, you know, we don't know how that's going to turn out, and that's possible. And so maybe you do want to have something lined up as far as, you know, can you consume that production capacity for those chips and sell them to a customer, or consume them yourself and, you know, sell them as a service to someone. You know, I don't know what sort of contingency plans they have in place for that. I'm sure they have something.
Let's do the next one. 3DFX, most short-sighted and least first principles decision Tesla has and Elon has ever made, and I'm disappointed, but I do see the short-term benefits. I think, again, this might be a there might be a misunderstanding of what Tesla has decided to do moving forward. But I'd love to give it to you and see what you think of this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's wise to assume that the guy who is all in on the bitter lesson with XAI and understands how to train the biggest, you know, most frontier AI models for LLMs and is solving robotaxi is going to make tactical blunders on where to invest and how to invest in chips at this point in time. I think my bet is that Elon knows exactly what he's doing and that this is the correct tactical strategic decision at this point in time.
He seems very good at identifying the correct long-term strategic solution. And if it doesn't turn out to be the correct one, it's 180. As soon as data becomes more available. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why so many investors love him. So Heaven Guy, AI6 made by Samsung, especially if it replaces Dojo, is a large risk. Samsung has a mastered 2-nanometer chip fab. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is definitely a valid concern. I think this is exactly why Elon, you know, put into the contract, hey, if we're going to make chips with you, you're going to let me run around your factory and whip you guys into shape, because he is somewhat concerned about this. That said, I don't know what, you know, process node they're going to run this on. Are they going to try to run it on 2-nanometer? Will, you know, hopefully they would run it on 2-nanometer, and hopefully by that time Samsung has 2-nanometer figured out fairly well. But, you know, I think you can get a lot out of the last generation of performance out of the last process node. And if you want to scale rapidly, that's probably the best bet with Samsung. Like, just accept the fact that, you know, you're trading supply chain certainty and, you know, securing yourself against China risk and having capacity for getting to use 2-nanometer instead of 4-nanometer, or, you know, you're using 2-nanometer instead of 1.6. I think that's just the calculus, and Elon has decided it's worth it. And then maybe he believes that he can identify the problems that they have and keep them at the forefront. You know, I don't know what his plans are there. But it is a huge risk. And like, this is anyone who, really understands Samsung or TSMC who has seen this deal coming together has made this exact same point. It's very valid. Samsung just, they're much better at tried and true process technologies, and they're not nearly as good at, you know, really executing flawlessly at the cutting edge.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that partnership is that Elon is very good at executing at the cutting edge, i.e. SpaceX and Tesla FSD, right? So it's like, it's almost like that's the flip side of the positive end of it. But the other side too, it's like, I think it's so valid. This is a decision around TSMC not being there for Elon when he needs them to be where he needs them to be. And so it's, he would rather, that's, And if he doesn't do that, then he risks getting diminishing, but potentially he doesn't have access to gobble up as much, as many chips as he possibly could, unless he decides to go with a separate partner. And then if that, okay, so like the risk reward ratio is very high here. And yeah. That's another like thing that's with Elon, is like the big risk is partnering with somebody that's not as good as your best one. The big reward is that if you do get them to where they need to be, they're probably going to give you all the business you could, they could handle from you.
And don't forget,
become an exclusive supplier. You could buy them.
Yeah. Oh, he could totally buy up that plant.
You could buy
yeah.
Samsung. You could buy Samsung and just make them a chip manufacturer.
Yeah. And don't forget that Samsung already made hardware 3. They are making AI 4 as we speak. And so this isn't like a completely unknown quantity for Elon either. That, you know, they're partners. They've been working together. They understand what Samsung can and cannot do, and what types of yields they should or should not expect, and all of that.
I just hit. I hit OBS by accident. I'm good.
Yeah, you're a little bit quiet. Maybe if you speak up a little bit more for the
check one, two. Did something change or no? Okay, good. Okay. All right.
You're just hitting your noise gate when you're being quiet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Here's the next one, and then we'll do one more. What do you guys think of the former, if the former head of Dojo starts his own dojo company? Great for competition. Yep. As long as he doesn't have a non-compete, mm-hmm. then he's breaking the law.
Well, he probably did. I mean, it's been several yeah. years since he's talking about Ganesh, and Ganesh retired in 2023, so he probably had something like a 24-month non-compete that's now yeah. over. Or even if it was 12, yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, not super worried about this. Like, as a startup company, he's going to be faced with resource constraint problems. He's going to have more creative freedom. I'd wish them all the best of luck. You know, the likelihood that they're going to be trying to tackle the exact types of problems that Tesla needs to tackle is fairly low, I would expect. And even if they magically can make the perfect Dojo 3 chip that Tesla decided not to make, and Tesla just had to become their customer, oh man, that would just be terrible. They would have like options on what they could buy. Yeah,
such a terrible thing. Okay, last question. Is the change for Tesla Dojo program needed to overcome financial loss by loss of EV tax credit, loss of regulatory credits? Is this one way to reduce CapEx costs on the financials? This is actually a very fascinating question, because the dojo project, I mean, it definitely was, I think, $1 or $2 billion in CapEx maybe that yeah. Tesla plowed into the program. It will free up cash flow moving forward, but it's not like that cash flow is going to be sitting idle or raise the cash on the balance sheet unless Tesla's able to generate a lot of profits in the coming quarters. It's probably going to get reinvested into the AI, so it's going to be moved from the Dojo thing project, and it's probably going to be reallocated to AI 6.
And I doubt that it would have been large enough anyways to offset the changes from regulatory credit losses and tax incentive losses. So, I mean, maybe a little bit, you know, help to stem the thing. But I think from Elon's perspective, much more importantly than the money is just focusing the human talent on the bottleneck instead of this yeah. thing that was the bottleneck maybe and is not the bottleneck anymore.
Yeah. Okay. That was awesome. We should do this more often. I like this format. What do you think? He's laughing. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because you have bipolar.
Of course
I hate these things. I love these things.
Yeah.
Let's do this some
2 days
more.
Later.
Oh my God, I can't do this at all.
Yeah. It's called creativity, Hans. Got experiment. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. I hope this was helpful. Hans, thank you so much for you dropped a ton of really awesome unique knowledge there, which was very helpful, and this is one of the main reasons why people should find you. Where should people find you, Hans?
People should find me on X at Hans C. Nelson. If they are in the market for a car, they should find me at ts.la/Hans71453 to use my referral code on a brand new Tesla. And you know, another, we talked about the conversation that you and I had with Jeff and then with Jordan that are released on your channel, but I also had a great conversation with Phil Beisel, who is a former Apple engineer, former founder of he was a former Rivian employee, founded the tech team at Rivian. Awesome guy, really understands accelerated computing. We had a great conversation. And that one also just dropped on my YouTube channel this morning, which is also YouTube at Hans C. Nelson. All of those places are great places to find me. And I think they know where to find you, would be my guess.
If you are watching this video right now, check out the link where you are watching this video.
Yeah.
And also go make sure you check out our sponsor, Rebellionaire.
Rebellionaire.
Rebellionaire. The most beautiful person ever works there. His name's Matt Smith. And mm-hmm. I've always said he's beautiful. I've never said he's not. That's it. He's probably like, yo, Pap, when you pay for diapers, you better say something nice. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next one. Love you guys. Thank you, Hans.